This is the October 17th chapel service. The speaker is Dr. Neil Jones.
Thank you. The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Come, let us worship God. Our hymn is hymn 384. Let us stand and sing. Pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Descend upon us with fire, and burn away all that is gross in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Descend upon us with light, and illumine for us your holy word. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Kindle in us a fire and a light, that we might take your word to the far corners of the earth. Let us pray together the prayer which our Lord taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. Organization. Adopt goals and objectives by which they can measure their performances. Our seminary does very well on its administrative goals and objectives. Our buildings look beautiful. Our library is growing. Our classrooms are filled. But our objectives cannot be defined purely in such administrative terms. For we are in the business of trying to produce Christians. Christians who can conquer the world for Christ. Christians who can go forward into the waste places of our land and there bring light and service. The final judge of whether we meet these objectives, of course, will not be a board of trustees, nor will it be simply an auditor of our books. But we will be judged by what the church becomes in our hands. In this week of commitment, we are asking all of you to search your souls, to search your lives, to see whether you have really realized where you stand and God's great plan. You really see that which God will do with your life. Our program has several parts. Part is chapel service. We've invited Neil Jones to speak to us. Neil is a successful pastor. More important, he's a successful Christian. We urge you to hear his words. We also invite you to come by and talk with Neil, either personally and privately, or at 3 o'clock, in the Mackey Commons room, in a group. Look within this week and see what Christ would do with your life. Dr. Neil Jones will now read the scriptures to us. Attentively hear God's words in the words of his book.
Before I read the great truth of the Bible, I want to dispel a terrible myth. I'm not a doctor. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 18, when Jesus noticed the crowd around him, he ordered his disciples to go to the other side of the lake. A teacher of the law came to him. "Teacher," he said, "I am ready to go with you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lie down and rest." Another man who was a disciple said, "Sir, first let me go back and bury my father." "Follow me," Jesus answered, "and let the dead bury their own dead." In Luke chapter 9, beginning with verse 57, as they went on their way, a man said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lie down and rest." He said to another man, "Follow me." But that man said, "Sir, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus answered, "Let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another man said, "I will follow you, sir, but first let me go and say goodbye to my family." Jesus said to him, "Anyone who starts to plow and then keeps looking back is of no use for the kingdom of God." I am genuinely excited about the unique opportunity that is mine to address so many ministers who have said yes to Jesus Christ. But what did you mean when you said yes to Jesus Christ? Did you mean that you were choosing one of the finer professions of life in order to make best use of your talents? When you said yes to Jesus Christ, did you mean that all of the aptitude testing you have submitted yourself to has revealed that this is the best field for you to follow by human standards? When you said yes to Jesus, did you mean that you would naturally choose the aesthetic as over against the competitive, the kinder way of life as over against the harsher way of life? Whatever you meant by the yes you said to Jesus Christ, we are here to rediscover it this week in terms of commitment. Because there is evidence on the part of many seminary students and many seminary graduates that our yes means maybe. There's an old limerick that came out of church history that says, a willing young curate named Meade, with a wife and baby to feed, desires a post where they reverence the host and believe at least half the creed. The calling that many of us have followed by saying yes cannot be yes by degrees. We have to mean yes every day, and we are here to rethink what we mean by yes these 3 days together. Many of us say yes too quickly, I'm afraid. In these scriptures that I've read from Matthew and Luke, there is need for some harmony between the two. It would seem in putting the scriptures together in the New Testament that they were on their way to Jerusalem to the great feast. John indicates that they traveled secretly to this feast because of the danger that lurked for Jesus with his enemies. They passed through Samaria on their way, and the Samaritans were not kindly disposed to Jesus or his disciples, and so the disciples wanted to call down fire upon them. With this mixed multitude of enemies and friends, Jesus also was followed with an accumulation of people who had glibly said yes. They had said yes to Jesus as they saw his miracles and heard his fascinating teaching. And so they said yes before they knew the questions. They gave the answers before they knew the questions. They were stunned with the glitter of this exhilarating truth and his miracles, but they had never faced the question of whether or not they were willing to take up their cross and to follow him. The scriptures, we find it in Matthew, is paralleled in Luke or vice versa, and there are some differences. I think there are many reliable scholars who believe that both of them drew from the Q source. It is also thought that there was more than one source available to Matthew and Luke. Luke contains an additional story that Matthew did not contain, and it seems at least that each of them, under the Holy Spirit's guidance, used the material that best suited their purpose in their gospel. The first man that encountered Jesus and said yes is unidentified by Luke, but is called a scribe by Matthew, a teacher. It seemed very easy for him to promise that he would follow. Perhaps he had a vision of joining that glamorous group called the 12 that seemed so happy as they followed Jesus from place to place. But Jesus was very curt to this first man who said yes so glibly. He pointed out in the illustration that the foxes have their places and the birds have their places, but the Son of Man does not have his place. It is interesting that this morning I was in Dr. Miller's church history class and heard of St. Columban, who liked this verse and went around the country doing missionary work from place to place, saying he had no place to put his head. And he interpreted that as his mandate in following Christ across the world. When our children were young, four of them, we would travel often between Texas and Alabama because my wife's folks lived in Lower Alabama. My wife is from L.A., Lower Alabama. And in fact, she lived so far south in Alabama that if you go any farther, you'd be in Florida, and that's Yankee territory. And she can still make four syllables out of a common, ordinary greeting on the street. So she's never lost it. We always like to make our pilgrimage back to Alabama in the summer, especially in the summer from Texas. And we left West Texas, where there was only one tree within many miles, traveled on our way, and we'd come through Alabama, and there was one place we passed every year on our way to Dothan and Midland City. And there was a great, big, beautiful area with with cows and trees and water. And looking at the trees yesterday that are so beautiful here, I thought about it. And we'd pass by there and we'd be hot. Have you ever traveled with four children from Texas in an unair-conditioned car in the summertime? Well, it'll make you go to Southeastern Seminary, I'll tell you that. And so when we got to that beautiful place, Betty was tired out from the hours with the children, and she'd look and she'd say, "Honey, how would you like to be a cow in Alabama?" And that has become, through all these years, a metaphor of comfort in our lives. When somebody is hot or wants to be comfortable, we always say, "Wouldn't you like to be a cow in Alabama?" Jesus was saying, you might do better if you're built for comfort instead of speed to be a fox or a bird. Be sure your yes means yes and you are not saying it too quickly. Jesus' yes meant being born in a barred stable, expelled from his own land, almost pushed off a cliff in his hometown, crucified on the cross in the midst of his own people. Now that's not to say that Jesus wasn't happy. He was happy wherever he was, whether he had a home or not. You know, I love that story where it says he healed Peter's mother-in-law and she got up and fixed victuals for him. Doesn't the scripture say that, free translation? I know what it was. It was a fisherman's platter. And so Jesus could make the best out of Martha's vineyard or Peter's house or anywhere he was, but he didn't have a home to call his own. What does it mean to say yes? Don't say it too quickly. A graduate of a seminary came to me in D.C. the other day, and he wanted a place to serve, and said he'd narrowed his field down to Washington, D.C. That's not the kind of answer you give to Christ when you promise to serve and you say yes. Now, I don't mean that saying yes to Jesus Christ excludes a graduate of this school of going into secular work. It doesn't. But it excludes any of us who've said yes to Jesus Christ from hedging. Most of us want a burning bush experience without taking the instruction manual that's always tied to every burning bush and wrapped so it will not be consumed in the fire. And the burning bush had an instruction manual that said to Moses that he was to go to Egypt on a mission. You can't have discipleship without mission. Dag Hammarskjöld said in 1961, "I don't know who put the question. I don't know when they put the question. I don't remember answering it. But at some moment, I did answer yes to someone or to something. And from that hour, life has been meaningful. And from that moment, I have known what it means not to look back and to give no thought for tomorrow." And as you face the great ministry that God has called you to, there is no room for saying yes too quickly. Count the cost. The second is, many say yes too indecisively, and we'll take the next two illustrations together. The second man in Luke's version was a man that was conscripted, as Jesus said, "Follow me," the same instructions he gave to many of his followers in the beginning of his ministry, "Follow me." Matthew records that he was already a disciple. Perhaps Jesus was calling this maybe brilliant young person into the inner circle of his disciples, a higher place of ministry in discipleship. Some of the ancient manuscripts include the fact in there that he called him Lord, called Jesus Lord. And then he gave to Jesus what I consider a very legitimate request. He said, I must bury my father. This is a very harsh word that Jesus gave back to this man. I'm sure we do not know all the circumstances, but perhaps we can recreate them and think that he was speaking in this manner. Let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. What he was doing was not destroying family devotion. Even a priest who could not contaminate himself with a dead body was supposed to bury his own dead. And a man who helped bury the dead of others was considered a kind man in the Jewish system. Jesus wasn't talking about the disregard of our family or the amenities that we owe them. He was talking about the indecisiveness of people in not following with their whole heart. The meaning of impulsiveness. The second man was either called or he volunteered. We don't know, or really he's the third man. He called or he was called by Jesus or volunteered. He wanted to say goodbye to his family. That's an even easier request. My sympathy is with this man more than it was the first time I read about Martha. But Jesus again practiced a tough kind of love because he didn't want anybody to follow him on impulse. And he wanted them to know what it meant to follow him and give up everything. There was a man in a church I pastored that was a banker, and I don't ever recall him being against anything that I proposed in that church. But every time he said, "Yes, Pastor, I think we ought to do that," then he would say in typical banker fashion, "But where is the money coming from?" And many of us always put at the end of our yes a but. And we ruin the whole yes because we are indecisive. We're too quick with our yes. And commitment is a total yes with all we know about ourselves to all we know about Jesus Christ, our Savior. I think I can illustrate it with an illustration from my grandson. My grandson is 4 years old. His name is Rob. And before I came to this service, he said, "Granddad," we went out in his backyard, and he said, "Granddad, you're going to Southeastern Seminary, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, son, I am. How'd you know?" He said, "Well, I've been listening to my parents." I said, "Good." He said, "I want you to do me a favor, Granddad." I said, "Certainly, son. What can I do for you?" He said, "I love to hear you use me in illustrations. Please use me in at least one illustration when you get to Southeastern." So I'll be able to tell my grandson that I complied with his request. Rob is a brilliant child. He's really better than all four of our children. Our children were careless, never put their toys up. He always puts his toys in place. I've never seen a child quite like him. But he's pretty slick at times, too. So one day we were over at his house, and we had a good dinner together. He ate a fine dinner. Then he wanted to go out and play soccer, and so his dad and I had to go out and play soccer with him in the backyard. And when we got through playing soccer, it got dark. We had to come in, and we had to play matchbox cars on the floor. And then his daddy said that he had fixed us some ice cream, and so then we got up and ate some ice cream and cake. And then when we finished eating ice cream and cake, his mother said it's time to bathe and go to bed. And she bathed him and brushed his teeth and got him ready for bed. Then it was time to pray. And when he got through praying, he said he wanted some water. His mother said, "You don't need any water. You just had ice cream, and you just had water with your ice cream. You had cake. You don't need any more. You know what happens to the bed when I give you too much water?" "No." "Well," he said, "he wanted some more cake." "No," she said, "you've had enough to eat." Well, then he said he wanted to kiss his granddaddy. Now, I think she ought to let him do that. But she said, "No, you're not going down and kiss your granddaddy." The reason was he didn't want to kiss his granddaddy. He was being indecisive. And that's the meaning of this story. You cannot be indecisive in your commitment to the call of Jesus Christ. It is now and it is forever and it is through eternity. C.B. Jackson tells about in the First World War when he was training for being an officer. He said he stood before his superior, and a man threw him an insignia and said, "Go sew this on your uniform." And he went and sewed it on his uniform. He said, "Come back as quickly as possible." And he came back and it was sewed on. He said, "Rip it off." He ripped it off. He said, "Go out and sew it back on." He went out and sewed it back on. Came in and said, "Rip it off." Ripped it off. He said, "Send him out." And said, "Come back and sew it back on." He kept up, and there were several other men that just got mad and quit. But C.B. Jackson kept on, and he kept coming back, sewing it off and ripping. Sewing it on, ripping it off, and he came back, and finally the man said, "You're going to be an officer." He said, "The reason I went through this exercise, I don't want anybody being an officer in this army that doesn't know how to take orders he doesn't understand." Jesus Christ calls us to a ministry that is a mystery of the ineffable God who leads in paths we'll never understand. But your yes has to mean yes, whether you have a place to put your head or not. We must not be indecisive. And then he gives that great illustration about the plow. And those of you who were raised anywhere near a farm understand that plow. Remember, this wasn't a John Deere tractor pulling a great big nice plow where you could stop anytime you wanted. This was a wooden plow that you push down deep and you keep your eye on the straight furrow across the way, and you don't want anybody bothering you till you get to the end. And my Uncle Charlie used to farm that way, and Aunt Minnie would send cold water out to him, and I knew you never stopped Uncle Charlie in the middle of the row. You waited till you went all the way to the other side of the field till he got to the end. Then you handed him the water, and he drank it. But if you stopped him in the middle of the row, you'd get some fancy words from Uncle Charlie. And so the other day I was with the dearest friend I have in Northern Virginia, who took me in when I came to Northern Virginia. And he was dying, and he has been progressively dying since 1971. And he has never whimpered. He has never cried. He is a saint of God. I just buried him last week. And his wife let me go in the bedroom with him when we knew it was the last hours, and she went out. And I went in, and I talked to him, and I said, "Oscar, tell me, everything's all right, isn't it?" And he looked at me just like he did in his health, and he said, "Preacher, I put my hand to that plow years ago, and I'm not going to take it off." Isn't that beautiful? And he died a horrible death, but he never took his hand off. Albert Schweitzer said, "He comes to us one unknown as of old by the lakeside. He came to those men who knew him not. He speaks to us the same word, 'Follow thou me,' and sets us to the task which he has to fulfill for our time. He commands us, and those who obey him, whether they're wise or simple, he will reveal himself in the toils, conflicts, and sufferings they will pass through in the fellowship. And as in an ineffable mystery, they shall learn in their own experience who he is." Be decisive with your yes, and you will learn in that mystery of the toils and the sufferings who he is. And you'll be so glad you said yes. Martin Luther King, when he was in Montgomery, Alabama, said he was at the end of his rope. He could not go any farther. He was afraid. He had nothing left. And it was in that moment, in courage of moving forward, that he said he heard the Lord say, "Stand up for what is right and what is true, and God will be your side, by your side forever." So don't say yes too quickly, or don't say it indecisively, but let your yes be yes with capital letters and underlined three times. And that's what we're here for this week, to rediscover that kind of commitment to a Christ of mystery and love who will forever lead us on. Notice that little part that Luke adds that I don't think Matthew has. In verse 60, he says, "You go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Let your yes be yes. You go and proclaim the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Well, it is the ultimate rule of God. There's the personal dimension of his rule within our lives. There's the progressive dimension as personally and collectively the kingdom advances and accumulates. There is the ultimate dimension in the final rule of God. So what does yes mean? Yes means a lifestyle in which we give a definitive yes at the beginning of our ministry, a continual yes in the progress of our ministry, a cooperative yes in the family of God, and an eschatological yes in the hope of the future. Lucy Poba, 5'3", weighs about 85 pounds soaking wet. She's from Burma. She recently preached at the Baptist World Youth Congress, and on her way there was at our church, and she's been at our church twice. Lucy Poba said yes to Jesus. "I will be your servant." But she didn't know how she'd be educated. And she read an ad in the paper in Burma that the British ambassador's wife needed a housekeeper. Creative little dynamite that she was, she went over and applied for that job, and she said to the ambassador's wife when she was interviewed, "There's no job you've got I won't do." The ambassador's wife liked it, hired her. She began to scrub floors, change babies' diapers, do anything she was asked to do. Then the day came. The ambassador was transferred. They're as bad as preachers. The ambassador was transferred. He had to go to South America, to Argentina. She said, "May I go?" She couldn't be educated to be the Christian teacher she wanted to be in Burma. "May I go?" "Why?" The ambassador's wife said, "You're the best help I've got. Let's go." She packed her up, took her down to South America, got her visa, got it all worked out. She worked, she scrubbed floors, she did all the jobs nobody would do. And then she said one day to her lady, like Nehemiah before the king, she said, "I've got a people I've got to help. The reason I've done all this is so I could be educated. Can you please get me to America for theological education?" "Why," she said, "of course, the way you've worked." And so they worked it out for her to come to the States, and she got her undergraduate degree. When she got her undergraduate degree, she understood how little she knew. That's important, isn't it? You identify, don't you? Huh? And she realized how little she knew, and so she said, "I have to stay and get a master's degree." So she applied to our Southern Baptist seminaries, and they said, "Oh, it'll take you at least 2 more years to finish up your education." She says, "My visa won't last but for 1 year. I can do it in a year." They looked at that little frail 5-foot woman and said, "You can't do it. And I'm sorry, you can't do it." And so she applied to Princeton. And Princeton said, "Yes, we'll let you do it in a year." And she got her master's degree in 1 year. Her yes was decisive. Her yes was thought through. Her yes was the kingdom, all the way from the first decision to the eschatological hope. And so when she graduated, what do you think she did? She had those few little garments she's illustrated to the children at our church. You know, they just wear wraparounds, and that's easy. You just wrap it around and tie it. If you don't like it that way, tie it on this side tomorrow. So she had a few wraparounds, and she was going back to Rangoon to teach at the seminary, and the seminary had no books. And so she took her wraparounds and got rid of all of them except one. And she packed as many books on religious education as she could get in her suitcases to take back to that unfree land in Burma that is teeming with the gospel right now. And she took those books back there. And she led her students after she got there, and she took 17 of them up to a part of the country that was terrible and mean. And the first night they were there, 2 o'clock in the morning, people knocked on her doors and asked her, and they said, "What are you doing here?" And she pulled out a machete, that little woman, she pulled out a machete, and she said, "I'm here to do 2 things, to bring you medicine for your malaria and the good news of Jesus. Do you like it?" They said, "Yes, we like that." Is it any wonder that when Denton Lotz, who's in our church, wanted somebody to speak to the World Youth Congress, that they got somebody who really knows commitment, what it means to say yes, and they brought Lucy Poba over on the airplane? And one night in America, she sat up all night in the airport because she only had $12. And a motel would cost more than that. The foxes have their holes, but not Lucy. And not you. Your hole is not a parsonage. Your place is not a good salary in a county seat town. Your place is at the crossroads. Wherever he says go, go. And let your yes be yes forever.
Thank you.
Jesus said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all people, everywhere, and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you always, to the end of the age. Amen.